This is a Channel 7 Eyewitness News special event. Vote 09. The official New York City general election mayoral debate. Administered by the New York City Campaign Finance Board. And sponsored by WABC-TV, Univision, 1010 Wins, and the League of Women Voters of New York City. Now, live from Channel 7 Studios, your moderator, Eyewitness News anchor, Bill Ritter.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Bill Ritter of Channel 7 Eyewitness News. Welcome to the final debate for mayor of New York City. The election just a week from today, and it is hard to inflate the importance of this important office. It oversees an enormous budget, about $60 billion a year, and a huge workforce with more than 300,000 employees. The mayor of New York often described it as the second most powerful elected office in the country. So with all that as prologue, we're going to introduce the candidates for the job. Michael Bloomberg and Bill Thompson. And gentlemen, to both of you, thank you for coming here tonight. This is an important exercise in democracy to let the voters and the viewers hear your views, and we thank you for it. Joining me tonight is a great panel. Eyewitness News political reporter Dave Evans, Univision reporter Mariela Salgado, and 1010 Wins senior correspondent Stan Brooks. Welcome to all of you. And in our newsroom, with email questions, your email questions, is Eyewitness News reporter Jeff Pagaz. We invite you to send your email questions to us and to Jeff up in the newsroom at 7online.com. I do have a bit of official business to get down to before we get down to the business of the debate. This debate, as we said in the open, is administered by the New York City Campaign Finance Board. It's a nonprofit independent city agency that oversees the campaign finance program, which amplifies the impact of New Yorkers' small contributions by matching them with public funds. Eligible candidates who join this program are required to take part in today's debate. The CFB also provides public disclosure of campaign finances, enforces the City Campaign Finance Act, and provides voters with important information about the candidates for city office. They do it through the New York City Voter Guide. Each candidate is going to have, here are the rules, each candidate is going to have 1 minute to answer each question. They can do that in English or any other language they choose. For rebuttals and follow-up questions, gentlemen, you're going to have 30 seconds apiece, and we urge you to stick to the time limits. I'm going to try to enforce that kindly for most of the time. The order the candidates appear on stage, by the way, was chosen by random drawing. So with all that behind us, our political reporter Dave Evans has the first question. Dave?
Mr. Bloomberg, I'd like to ask you, first of all, what have you failed to do in the last 8 years that 4 more years would help you accomplish?
Well, we've made a lot of progress in the school system, but not every child gets the kind of education they're going to need to compete in the world. We brought crime down a lot, but there's still too much crime. Any crime is too much crime. We brought a lot of jobs here and diversified our economy, but we're still very dependent on Wall Street. So there are a variety of things that we've done. We have brought people together, and I want to keep doing that. We have given people hope that we're going to develop all parts of the city. We've rezoned a fifth of it, 80% to retain the character of the neighborhoods, 20% to give us room to grow and build buildings. Those are on mass transit lines. We have to work with the mass transit system, the MTA, to make sure that all parts of the city get mass transit, because otherwise the pollution is just going to keep hurting us. We have to make sure that the public hospitals that we have put a lot of money into continue to grow. They're always going to be threatened. Hospitals are always threatened from a financial point of view. And we're going to have to deal with a state budget, which we know is going to make life difficult for the next few years. So I think it's more of the same, making sure that we continue the things, making sure that we expand the universe of people that benefit from those things.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Thompson?
Well, what I think the mayor has failed to do is to close the affordability gap. As we just saw today, 1 million middle-class New Yorkers have been pushed out of the city under his leadership. We've looked at the increase of taxes and fines and water rates and parking tickets that continue to squeeze middle-class New Yorkers out of the city of New York. That's what Mike Bloomberg has failed to do in his administration.
I'd like to, with just a follow-up, though, the reason why we're here, the reason why you're here, Mr. Bloomberg, is because you pushed through a change in the term limit law. So if you are reelected on November 3rd, would you then push to go back to what we had earlier, which is a two-term limit?
I've said that I would be in favor of a commission to look at what should go on the ballot and give the public a choice once again to again say what they want. And I think that is only fair. The people that were responsible for the first term limit vote said they thought this was a particularly unique time in history. They'd come and ask me to run again. And what we have here really is a choice for the voters. They're going to have to decide, do they like the progress that we've made, or do they want to go to the kind of government that my opponent would give them?
So you're asking for a charter commission?
Yes. Okay. I've said we will have a charter commission if I'm elected.
Mr. Thompson, your response?
The people of New York City made their choice on two occasions. Back in 93 and in 96, voters overwhelmingly voted to enforce and put in place term limits. Mike Bloomberg has overturned term limits for his own self-interest. It is as simple as that. And now he continues to spend an extreme amount of money, what, $200 million, to try and get the voters of New York City to forget that he overturned term limits. He betrayed their trust, and he ignored their wishes.
Next set of questions from Mariela Salgado.
Thank you, Bill. Muy buenas noches a ambos candidatos. Good evening to both. And Mr. Thompson, obviously you've strongly criticized Mr. Bloomberg for overturning term limits. It's been a theme in your campaign. Tell us why, though, you think you could be a better mayor for the next 4 years. And please be specific.
Okay. I think it is important. I think that this city is going in the wrong direction. I think that as we look, and I talked about the affordability gap before, middle class and working New Yorkers and poor New Yorkers are being pushed out of the city of New York by the policies of this administration. Those policies continue. The New York that I knew, the New York that provided opportunity to me and to my parents and to so many others, isn't being provided to others because they can't afford to stay in this city. It's something that you hear each and every day from people saying, I'd love to stay in New York, but I can't afford the rent. Well, I think it's important that the mayor of the city of New York be on the side first of middle class and working New Yorkers to make sure that we keep taxes down for those individuals, that we fight to keep them in the city, that we deal with issues like affordable housing and make sure that we preserve housing in the city of New York, that we work to preserve Mitchell-Lama housing, that we work to make sure that New York stays an affordable city. That's one of the reasons I love this city. That's the reason I'm running to be mayor of New York City.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Bloomberg, your response?
Well, we have been doing things to try to make the city more affordable because we want those people who built this city not to get pushed out. And that's why we have building 165,000 units of affordable housing. That's why we have 3 more years of rent stabilization so people don't have to worry about getting pushed out of their houses. That's why we've preserved Mitchell-Lama in 20,000 cases. But the real answer here is my opponent has proposed something over $5 billion in expenses, which would be required to be paid for with job-killing taxes. And that would just make this city so much more affordable. Either he's going to drive out the small business people who we need to keep their jobs here, or he's going to make everybody else who has trouble making their payments every day, and we all are struggling with this kind of an economy, they're the ones that are going to have to reach in their pocket and pay those job-killing taxes. And he said he's not going to reduce the size of the workforce, but he wants to put these things in. Well, the money's got to come from someplace, and that's from everybody in the city. He said he wants a broad-based tax. One time he said a millionaire's tax. He said so many things, I can't keep straight who he wants to tax, but he's going to tax somebody.
Mr. Thompson, you have 30 seconds if you want to respond to that.
You know, the one thing that I've been very clear in making recommendations for the dollars that go into the proposals I've made. But as we look and we talk about increasing taxes, Mike, when you first became mayor, you increased taxes on those making $100,000 a year or more. You squeezed middle-class New Yorkers out of the city of New York. And you supported a millionaire's tax in the past. You helped to put that in place. So I may be talking about a millionaire's tax because they have broader shoulders during these tough times. You've continued to kill the middle class and working New Yorkers in this city. That's why I'm running. That's why we need somebody to stand up and fight for them.
Mr. Bloomberg?
You know, you can't have it both ways. Bill has for 8 years in a row said that our plans, our financial plans, every time he's testified, are prudent and well thought out and appropriate. And now all of a sudden he's running for mayor and he wants to disavow that. We had to raise taxes when we wanted to preserve key services. And as soon as the economy got better, we reduced those taxes. And that's what we're going to do again. In the end, we have to grow our economy. You don't grow the economy by raising taxes on those whose jobs they're going to take out of the city.
Well, let's continue on this jobs theme. Stan Brooks of 1010 Winds has the next question.
Yeah, you mentioned jobs a moment ago, Mr. Bloomberg. The city's unemployment rate is at 10.3%, with many middle and working class jobs in fields like manufacturing replaced by low-paying jobs in retail and food service. Realistically, how will you bring decent job-paying jobs back to New York City?
Well, we are making this city a center for IT, a center for biotech by making targeted investments. That's what the city is doing with its money. Eastside Science Park, we're trying to get better jobs and more jobs up in Hunts Point and over on Staten Island. There's a whole bunch of those kinds of things. We've created 20,000 jobs this year alone with our Workforce One centers, placed people in good jobs. Our business solution centers have gone and helped small businesses, which are bringing even more jobs into this. You know, I've created tens of thousands of jobs, and as far as I know, my opponent who talks about creating jobs, the only jobs he's ever created are patronage jobs and the old Board of Ed and maybe some jobs with some money managers and placement agents.
Mr. Thompson?
You know, as we look at the need to grow an economy across the city of New York, we have to look across all five boroughs. We have to develop a diverse economic development strategy that not just waits for Wall Street to come back, but it helps to grow small business across the city of New York. This administration hasn't done that. They've ignored small business. We need to focus again. There are manufacturing jobs and manufacturers out there that want to expand. We need to help them expand. We need to preserve things like the garment center that this administration continues to squeeze. We need to create focus, as our president would say, on a demand-driven economy that starts to align our community colleges and job training and other things along with job creation for those who need skills development and create and help to train them for the jobs that are going to exist in the future. Not what we've done. We're continuing to see jobs by this administration that are in lower end, and we've watched the middle class, those jobs in the middle, disappear from the city of New York.
Mr. Bloomberg, you have 30 seconds.
Well, I'm glad my opponent mentioned training, because we focused on education and our school system is giving our kids today a lot better opportunity to get the kind of skills that they're going to need going forward. We've already have a program to make our community colleges better. And that's exactly what we have to do. We have to keep focusing on education. And when my opponent ran the old Board of Ed, this education system didn't do anything for our kids. Quite the contrary. Kids got pushed from grade to grade without having to be able to do the work. The teachers did not get the kind of support they need. Construction costs were outrageous, and we didn't build anything. Today, we are giving our kids the opportunities that they need with the training they need.
Mr. Thompson, do you want to respond to that?
Yes, absolutely. This constant distortion of my record when I was at the Board of Education and the spending of an exorbitant amount of money to continue to lie to the people of New York City needs to stop. The New York Times said last week, as they looked at my record when I was at the Board of Education, that reading scores went up 4 years in a row. Math scores went up. And I think the Times described me as a reformer. So let's start to set the record straight. Let's stop deceiving the public, Mike. Let's tell everybody the truth. I'm proud of the record I had at the Board of Education, and it helped to pave the way for mayoral control today. That's the truth. That's what we need to tell the public tonight.
Well, you did pave the way for mayoral control. Everybody looked at this job that was done in the 1990s when you ran the Board of Ed, and they said, no mas. Everybody wanted, that's why mayoral control came in here. So let's just not get it. And I read the Times article as well. What it basically said is you made the Board of Ed and the people who worked in the agency in the school system feel good. But that's not the job. The job was to improve the school system for the kids, not to make everybody just get along better at an employer's level.
Ms. Thompson.
Elevated scores, reading scores that go up each and every year, that's helping our children. Not this Enron of education that we're seeing right now, where the numbers are fuzzy, where the math is fuzzy, where I think that the newspapers have indicated where the scores or things are inflated and puffed up. That's what we're seeing right now in the education system. We're seeing our young people who are going off to school. They may graduate, but they're going off and they can't compete. They're being taught to take standardized tests. They're not being taught comprehension and critical thinking. They're being fed fiction.
Mr. Bloomberg,
and now they're having problems.
We'll get back to education. We have a lot more on the economy I want to get to.
If anybody thinks that the schools were better when Bill ran them, they should vote for him. And if anybody thinks they're better now, I'd be honored to have their vote. That's the answer.
And again, I would love to have mayoral control and $20 billion to really be able to show the people of New York City what an education system really can do and how we can let our teachers teach again and help our children really achieve.
Much disagreement over education and the New York City school system. We're going to get back to education. We want to continue with the economic theme. Before I begin to ask people in the audience, there are supporters, by the way, people at home from both sides here, we'd ask you please withhold your applause until after the debate is done. Jeff Begay has been taking your emails. He's in the Eyewitness Newsroom. Jeffrey?
Yeah, Bill, and you heard the candidates about 5 minutes or so ago allude to the issue of taxes, who would raise them, who wouldn't raise them. Clearly a concern of many of our viewers, New Yorkers, We've asked them to submit their questions to 7online.com. We have a few. Let's put one up on the screen. This is from Reginald Wilson of Manhattan. With a huge budget deficit, he asks, would you ever consider raising taxes to balance the budget? And this is a question for Mr. Thompson. Would you raise taxes? And if you don't plan on raising taxes, what would you do to specifically cut city programs? Is there a specific program that you would cut?
First, no, I would not raise taxes. I think we need to start looking first at the $9 billion in services that are contracted out each and every year by the city of New York. That's a great place to start. As comptroller, I've also taken a look at some of the waste and fat in government. We need to do a top-to-bottom review of each and every city agency led by the mayor and make the cuts in the programs that don't work and make sure that those programs that work continue. And then also, we need to close some of the tax breaks that are out there. We've seen companies like Cablevision that owns Madison Square Garden. They've received over $300 million in tax breaks over the years. We need to close those loopholes. We need to make sure that the bloat or that these tax breaks don't continue. So there are a number of ways that I would close the budget gap. I would like to hear for a change the mayor talk about closing the budget gap, because so far he hasn't talked about how he's going to close that gap.
Before we get to that, Mr. Thompson, what cuts specifically are you talking about making?
Well, as we look at contracting out, there's $9 billion. If we want to, I'll talk about the Department of Education, where we've seen hundreds of millions of dollars in no-bid contracts that go out to outside services rather than put dollars in the classroom. It's examples like that. Privatization, or at least civilianization, in the police department. Bring those jobs, civilian jobs. Let's bring those jobs in-house, hire people at lower pay, and put additional police officers back out on the street. That's how we save money. That's how we cut waste in government.
Mr. Bloomberg, you have a minute.
Well, Controller Thompson was the controller for the last 8 years, and if there was all this waste, it's a shame he didn't point it out back then, and he knows that that's not the case. The truth of the matter is we, number one, cannot cut essential services. That's the mistake that was made in the 70s. Number two, we certainly cannot raise taxes. We shouldn't. We have no plans to do so. And unless there was something like Albany going bankrupt, we will not do that. What we have to do is grow our economy, grow more jobs so we have a bigger revenue coming in with the current tax rates, and also do things more efficiently. And one of the reasons we don't have to raise taxes is we have been saving. If you remember, after 2001, we cut our budget. We had $5 billion deficit. We closed that. Then we saved $8 billion when times were good, saving it. This year, we've closed a $5 billion deficit again, not laying off one police officer, one firefighter, one teacher, or one children's ACS investigator. We've protected the services that we have to protect. But that's the ways to get out of this, and we will not raise taxes. It would just drive jobs out of the city and give you less revenue than you have now.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. Dave Evans, you have the next question.
Mr. Bloomberg, as we all know, of course, tomorrow night is the first World Series game, the first one ever at the new Yankee Stadium. A lot of us are very excited about that. Not to rain on that parade, a lot of people, though, who live around Yankee Stadium, they say the Yankees are not a very good neighbor. Let's go ahead and listen to one of those residents.
I was here to protest the building of Yankee Stadium, but now that it's here, it's beautiful. But I hear a lot of complaints about how expensive it is. And that's a shame because taxpayers put a lot of money into it. But I really feel they need to do a lot more for the community.
The Yankees and the Mets, of course, have received huge subsidies from the city, a lot of tax breaks. Was this a good idea given some of the complaints?
The city's job is to make those kinds of investments that will leverage private monies. And when we get done with Yankee Stadium, it's taking a little longer than we planned, but they will have more parks than we had before, as well as we'll have a facility for the big events that make New York, New York. What we've been trying to do is to take our money and, where it makes sense, get business to come here. And you do that with film, theater, and television. You do that with bioscience, like the East River Science Park. You do it on Staten Island with expanding their port facilities. You do it in all the different parts of the city where a little bit of our money for infrastructure gets private sector to come in. You see that up in the Bronx. You see it in every part of this city. That's an intelligent use of our money, where the payback is going to be great in terms of jobs and in tax revenues. And that's what we should be doing, and not wasting our money on building things that the private sector can, and we have not been doing that.
The old Yankee Stadium is still up. That was supposed to be a park for the people in the Bronx.
It's coming down, and it will be a park. It has taken a lot longer. There was a few environmental issues, and then the Yankees took a long time in selling off the memorabilia. I don't know how many people wanted to buy seats, but apparently a lot of them did.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bloomberg. Mr. Thompson.
This is just another example of a giveaway, of the mayor's giveaway to another one of his developer friends in the city. Now, I am glad to see the Yankees in the World Series, and I think we're all hoping that they win. However, we're seeing this, these tax breaks, this giveaway to the Yankees to build a stadium that people in the surrounding neighborhood and all across the city of New York can't afford to buy tickets to go see. There's something wrong with that. And we look at the neighboring and surrounding communities. They have been shortchanged. There were promised parks. The city intentionally, Mayor Bloomberg's people, intentionally undercut or underbid or underpriced what it would cost for those parks. And the people in the Bronx right now are being shortchanged. They're not getting the parks that they were promised. They were given a bill of goods, if you will. So the Yankees are doing well, and they're making a lot of money. But the people of the city of New York who can't afford to go to these games, they're being shortchanged. The people of the Bronx who aren't getting the parks that they were promised or may never get the parks that they were promised, they're being shortchanged. This continues in too many instances across the city of New York.
All right, gentlemen, thank you. Mariella, next question.
Yeah, Mr. Thompson, we've seen a surge in luxury apartments all over, going up in all over New York City. Meanwhile, people are struggling to find a place to live. Many of those places are either empty or unfinished. We go to Washington Heights, and many of our voters come and tell us we are being pushed out of our own neighborhood because of the high rents. Please tell us and be specific, what will be your plan to tackle affordable housing?
Well, I think that one of the things, and the first thing that I would like to do, the rent stable or the rent guidelines board, the mayor appoints all the members of that, and I believe either 7 or 8 of the members of that board can be replaced. I'd replace them with individuals who would be pro-tenant for a change as opposed to the people who are there right now. We've seen rents, and they just went up October 1st again. We've seen rents that have gone up in over 30% under Mike Bloomberg's tenure. People continue to be pushed out across the city of New York. So that's the first focus, putting people in place who will look out for tenants first. Second, we looked at Mitchell-Lama housing across the city of New York as those units continue to come out of the program. We need leadership in Albany to make sure that those tenants are protected, and I would be happy to do and take the leadership in that area. And then finally, as we look at those in the housing authority, as they're warehousing units across the city of New York, they're being left out of, you know, those units aren't being put on the market during a housing crisis. So that's another thing that can be done, attention paid to those in public housing. All of these things go back to this crisis, this gap of affordability that is accelerated under this mayor, as we've looked at people in each and every neighborhood, not just Washington Heights, neighborhoods across the city, get pushed out one after another.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Bloomberg, you have a minute.
We've been in the middle of building 165,000 units of affordable housing, which will hold more people in the city of Atlanta. It's done with private money with a little bit of help from the city. And we've got 95,000 of those units either done or well underway. That's exactly what we've got to keep doing. And the desire to do so has not waned with the difficulty in arranging financing. And if you want to know, is our program a good program, President Obama went and hired our guy away, Sean Donovan. Fortunately, we've got somebody that I think is just as good, and we are on schedule and on budget to keep that going. We've also tried to make sure that landlords can deal with the city better. If we can reduce their costs, then the Rent Guidelines Board won't give them raises that are comparable with inflation. We have to have a balance between rents that people can afford and making sure that landlords can still turn a profit. Otherwise, they'll walk away like they did in the 70s and just abandon buildings, and that's not good for anybody. Got to make sure we don't go back to the 70s when we had burned out buildings because nobody was living there.
Okay, Mr. Thompson.
You know, we talk about Sean Donovan, and he is the Secretary of HUD. Ask the tenants at Stuytown and Peter Cooper Village, should they have been protected? Should the city administration help to stand up and protect over 11,000 affordable units? City administration and HPD dropped the ball right there, and that was the greatest example of affordable housing in the nation, probably. New York City chose not to get involved. Mayor Bloomberg chose not to get involved to help those tenants. They went to court and stood up and on their own. They've gotten justice. They did what the city of New York failed to do. They brought rents back down to affordable levels. We need to have a city administration that protects tenants.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Bloomberg, 30 seconds to respond.
You know, You can't have it both ways. If we are going to make the city more affordable, we have to keep making the kind of investments that we've been making. We have to keep working on mass transit so people can find ways to get to work and build new housing along the mass transit routes. We have to continue to reduce taxes as much as possible. And I come back to the taxes because in the end, my opponent's plans will raise taxes on everybody in this city and make the city a heck of a lot less affordable than it is today. We don't want to lose those people who have made this city what it is and are struggling. Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bloomberg. Yeah, Mr. Thompson, I mean, we're going to move on because we have a lot of topics to cover in this important debate. Stan Brooks, we're going to return to education.
Yeah, I'd like to take you back to the classroom, Mr. Bloomberg. The Department of Education often uses state test scores to brag about the progress in our schools. But just this month, the results of the nation's math exam showed New York State students made no progress. In fact, in fourth graders in the city did worse than last year. How can we trust that student progress is really being measured accurately?
Well, I think you're wrong. It wasn't the fourth graders in the city. It was the fourth graders in the state. The city's test scores don't come out until next month, and we're optimistic that we will beat the state and show real progress. But what you can't escape is that our progress in the schools is very different than it was back in the days when Bill Thompson ran the schools. Then the schools were violent and the classrooms disrupted by kids. Today, violence is down 44%, and there is decorum in the classroom. Back in those days, test scores didn't go up. Today, they are going up. We have 20% more kids reading and doing math at grade level in the fourth and the eighth grade than we did back then. But you can't escape the fact with the state tests or the federal tests, the gap between kids who always, ethnicities that always tested lower, and people said, oh, that's just the way it is, and I said, that's not going to be the way it is. We've cut that gap in half, and every kid takes the same test. And these are the same tests that were given back when Bill Thompson had the Board of Ed. And he said, oh, he'd made progress, and the test scores were better then, and all of a sudden the test scores don't matter? I don't think so. I think everybody understands the test scores are reflective of what's really happening in the classroom. Kids are doing what we're asking them to do, and teachers are, for the first time, getting information they need.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Thompson?
I'm glad to hear that the mayor acknowledged that test scores went up when I was the president of the board. Thank you for that, Mike. In addition, as we look at your right, Stan, the NAEP scores that came out for the state were flat again. New York City is going to be flat. Everyone knows when the scores come out, New York City will be flat again. They've been flat for the last 4 years because the test is given every 2 years. New York City students are being taught just to take the state standardized test. And that's the only thing. They're being taught, as one student said, they're being taught to memorize things. They're not being taught critical thinking and comprehension. So it isn't just the NAEP. If we were looking at measures, the SAT scores are down again, year after year after year. They continue to go down. Our students are being taught to take standardized tests. They need to do better. We need to tell them the truth and help to move this education system in a positive direction. Enough with the Enron, enough of cooking the books. Let's tell the truth. So our students need to focus on critical thinking and comprehension. We need to let our teachers, again, in a looser curriculum, help to teach our students how to do better. That's what we need to do. That's the truth. And as I said, we need to stop lying to the people.
Thank you. Mr. Bloomberg, you have 30 seconds.
Anybody that wants to go back, I don't think you're going to find them if you go out and look. The truth of the matter is the schools keep getting better. The schools are getting better for everyone. We now have three or four schools in the U.S. News and World Report, top 50 schools, high schools in the country. If you go take a look, more kids are taking the SATs because we're encouraging more kids that college is an option for them. We're giving free PSATs to all the kids in our schools, and then more of them take the SATs. And you are going to see the NAEP scores show, the federal government scores show that New York City has made great progress. I'm sorry they haven't come out yet. It'll take 2 weeks, but there's no reason to think that we haven't done exactly on those tests what we did on the state tests of beating the rest of the state or closing the gap.
I think we have the indication. The state was flat. New York City has been flat for the last 4 years, and they're going to be flat again. And it is unfortunate that we continue this fiction and continue to mislead the people of this city, and continue to spend, $200 million in campaign, and at least in ads and distortions to try and get people to believe that the system is better.
Dave Evans has a follow-up.
Well, let's continue on this education theme for a second. And I think just a second ago you said on these test scores, enough of Enron, enough of cooking the books, which is a pretty strong accusation. Mm-hmm. So given that, the question is, Are the schools better under the Bloomberg administration, or were they better when you were the Board of Education president?
What we're seeing is an apples to oranges comparison. If I was the mayor of the city of New York and had $20 billion to run a school system, the school system would be better than it is now. This comparison between today and yesterday, parents of the city of New York, parents who have their students in schools right now, want to know, what are we going to do moving forward? How are we going to make sure that our children get the education that they need? So I think it's important that we look to make sure that this curriculum really starts to teach our children, that we ratchet up to the highest and toughest standards, that teachers are able to go back in their classrooms and teach again, that we create the opportunity for bring educators and put an educator in charge of this school system again, so we start to focus in that direction. That's what people want to know about. They don't want to talk about, geez, what did you do last week? They want to know what we're going to do tomorrow. That's the important thing in the education system right now. What are we going to do to make sure that our children can compete in a global economy and be able to get jobs of the future, be able to move on to college, and to be able to move our city to higher heights? That's what we need right
now. Thanks, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Bloomberg.
This is an election about deciding who do you want to run the school system. When Bill Thompson was the president of the Board of Ed, he didn't get the job done. He failed our students, he failed the teachers, he failed the taxpayers, he failed our future. And going back and doing what he did back then is just something that I don't think anybody really wants to do.
Okay. Gentlemen, thank you. We want to return to our newsroom. Jeff Begays is up there taking your email questions. Jeffrey?
Sure, Bill. In the last 25 minutes or so, we've been inundated from questions from New Yorkers engaged in this debate. One of them we're going to put up on the screen right now. It's from Stacy Pelosi of Brooklyn. She says a household income of $250,000 or higher is not, she says, not upper class or rich in this city by any means. What are your plans to redefine the middle class as it is in New York City? And this question is for Mr. Bloomberg. If you could give us a specific number, how would you define the middle class? And what will you do to help the middle class navigate these difficult economic times?
The middle class are the people who use our public schools. The middle class are the people who use our mass transit. The middle class people are those that walk the streets and want to be safe. And that's what the middle class is made up of, municipal workers, 300,000 of them. The middle class is made up of the people who've built this city and who go to work every day. They set the alarm clock and they punch the time clock and they are proud of being New Yorkers and proud of working in the diverse society that we have. And what we've got to do is make sure they can live here. I can tell you what the middle class cannot afford. They cannot afford the old pay-to-play kind of politics. They can't afford that partisanship. They can't afford the special interest. They can't afford the party bosses moving everything. We've got to get going here, and they certainly can't afford the massive tax increase that my opponent would have no choice but to put in if any of his proposals were to be implemented.
The question was, what would you define as a middle-class income? Do you have a number for that?
There isn't a number, because somebody that's here single is very different than somebody that has a family. A middle-class person is a person who has a job and can pay the bills but does not have a lot of extra money. And they probably have a little bit of fear of what would happen to them if they lost their job. But they do have an apartment, and they do have meals, and they do have a little bit of entertainment, and they have a future. Those are the people that have aspirations in our city. Those are the people who want a better life and want a much better life for their kids. Those are the ones who are worried about, they're going to have to make a choice, and that's the choice I don't want them to have to make. They're going to have to make a choice between paying tuition or getting their kids a good education. And I'm determined that they'll be able to get their kids a good education without having to pay tuition.
Mr. Thompson, I think if you qualify for rent control or rent subsidies, you'd have to make more than $200,000 a year. Is there a figure here?
There isn't an exact figure for the middle class. I think that it varies. You ask a person, it depends on almost each and every person. But one point that I'd like to make, the mayor continues to talk about he's not going to increase taxes. And the question about the budget and how we're going to close a $5 billion budget gap, Mike, you didn't put forward one solid proposal. And as we look and talk about no tax increases, that you say you're not going to increase taxes, New Yorkers have watched you increase taxes year after year after year. How are you going to close the budget gap? You've increased water rates. You've increased sales tax just this last year. Property taxes assessments continue to go up. If we're talking about the middle class New Yorkers, 1 million of them, or over a million of them, have been squeezed out during your administration. How can you, if you're the middle class, The definition right now of the middle class is somebody who's leaving the city of New York because you're pushing them out.
But neither of you are going to put a figure on what the middle class is. I want to know, make
it's
that note.
It's almost when they had, there was self-definition. They asked the people of New York City in one study, what's okay. middle class? People indicated somewhere between 50,000 and like 170,000. That's middle class.
Okay, gentlemen. Thank you. Mariella, your next question.
Yeah, Mr. Thompson, it's been reported that you took more than $500,000 in campaign contributions from money managers. Some would end up getting fat contracts from the controller's office. But do you think it was wrong to take that money, and do you plan to give some of that money back just to get this issue off the table?
No, I adhere to the campaign finance rules and transparency and openness. And the one thing, on the pension boards, because the mayor has tried through his commercials, through this obscene amount of spending, to say that there was something that people received in return. And there wasn't. In fact, the truth is, Mike Bloomberg, when we look at our pension boards, those who make the decisions, Mike Bloomberg chairs the pension boards. He has the majority of votes. He has more votes on each pension board than I do. It's as simple as that. And each and every decision, each and every investment decision, he votes for and has voted for all of them. And New York City's pension funds have done well. As a matter of fact, right now, we have gained probably about $20 billion in just the last year. So there is no one receives a favor for any contribution. But I'm proud of the work that's been done, proud of the gains and the pension fund. But the truth then is, the mayor continues to say to spend this exorbitant amount of money to distort my record. He knows it's not true. And this is another case we just need to be honest with the people of New York City.
Mr. Thompson, if you had to do over again, would you take that money?
I said there was nothing that's tied to contribution in return for anything. So those who have been selected were selected by the boards, selected by a number of trustees, of which I am one. And so there is no connection between that.
Mr. Bloomberg?
That's just not correct. Under the city charter, the controller has the fiduciary responsibility to run the pension funds. The boards are there to improve. If the boards knew that he was getting donations to his campaign in return for giving out business, they never would have done it. Whether those investments were good or bad, they just would have questioned the selection of managers and using placement agents other than those that are best for the city. The truth of the matter is, when Bill says that you don't get anything in return, why on earth are people in California giving money to a New York City campaign if they don't expect something in return? Bill at one point said, he defended the system of pay to play. Then he said, no, I'm going to stop doing it. That was when the Hevesy thing blew up in Albany. Then he said, I'm going to ban it. And now he said he's against it. I mean, which is it? If it's so wrong, give back the money. Why don't you give back the money? That'll solve all the problems, and there won't be the appearance of maybe you got a favor in return for it. It looks terrible, even if it's not, and most people would think it is.
You know, again, you can't have it both ways, Mike. The investments that you voted for were good investments. Those were investments that have helped the beneficiaries of our pension fund and helped the people of New York City. And the money that we're making right now is helping everybody. When we talk about placement agents, and I've worked with Attorney General Andrew Cuomo to bring transparency and openness and to bring rule change to the pension funds. As a matter of fact, some of those rule changes that ban placement agents, you opposed. You were against those. You said, let those placement agents continue to do business with the New York City pension funds. You can't have it both ways, Mike. Which way is it? Is it right or is it wrong? No. Should placement agents be able to do business?
Bill, we don't have a problem with placement agents. We only have it when they give money to your campaign in return for favors. I mean, that is the problem here, that there's a quid pro quo, and anybody that doesn't think there is just naive. The bottom line is, if you read the New York Times, my recollection is the headline was, performance declined as donations to your campaign increased, or something like that. If you don't think it's right, go talk to the New York Times, talk to the Daily News. Both had stories that their investigators pulled together.
Well, back to the New York Times then, and you should talk to them about reading scores going up while I was there and education advancing while I was there. We're talking about the Times. But also, when the Times talked about performance wasn't good, we've just made over $20 billion. We have outperformed every large public pension fund in America. We have done well for the people of this city. And you've helped to vote on each one of those investments, Mike. Again, you've been involved in this, and you continue to distort and mislead the people of this city. Right. It is wrong.
Gentlemen. Give the money back.
Thank you, gentlemen. We've mined that issue, I think. Dave Evans?
Well, and I'll get to this question in just a second, but Mr. Bloomberg, I wanted to follow up on this back and forth here. It was reported tonight by the New York Times that your accountant, Mr. Geller, gave $26,000 to the mayor of Newark, Cory Booker.
Sure, and I've done fundraisers for Cory Booker. Cory Booker is one of the futures of our city.
You've talked about a quid pro quo here with him getting donations from California. Why is the same not here true for what you're saying?
Last time I heard you talk, I don't think you said that we were giving city monies to Cory Booker. I've given money to Cory Booker. I've run a fundraiser for him. I think Cory Booker and Michael Nutter, who I can't wish too well for the next seven games, but other than that, Adrian Fenty, it's a whole bunch of new mayors around this country, and I think we should all get behind them and support them. And I'm going to do everything I can to get them and get my friends to get them to pull together these cities that were falling apart. Newark was a disaster. Cory Booker has given them hope. He's the kind of guy Newark needs, and he's the kind of guy that we need. The new mayor of Detroit, another bright guy. This is not a young guy. This is a guy my age or pretty close to it who's come in with new ideas, and he's going to turn around a city that lost their major industry. And for the first time, Detroit really has some hope after the decline of the automobile industry. We need to support more of these kinds of people, and I'm happy to do it.
Mr. Thompson, any response?
This is just a continuation of the worst kind of politics that there is. This pay-to-endorse politics that Mike Bloomberg has been engaged in charitable contributions to individuals and organizations across the city of New York under the guise of, geez, I'm just doing good. And the reality is he's doing it with the expectation of something in return. We continue to see this time and time and time again. When we talk about disclosure, Mike, tell the people of the city of New York for a change. Let them know, who are you giving contributions to? Charitable contributions, so they can see who's endorsing you in return for charitable contributions, in return for support. We saw this again during the debate on term limits, where individuals were sitting in the front, that you had people brought in to pack the front rows of organizations that had gotten charitable contributions or doing business with the city of New York. Tell the people of New York City the truth, please.
Well, we do put out the list of 900 charities that I supported every year. And also, it's kind of hard to see how I could have given contributions to virtually every major newspaper that's an endorsed our campaign, to 42 labor unions representing 750,000 middle-class people. I mean, this is ridiculous. The people did not get monies for anything. Cory Booker, happy to support him. Feeding people through soup kitchens and homeless shelters. Somebody's got to come up with the money, and the city doesn't have enough. I'm happy to be able to do those kinds of things. I'm very proud of our philanthropy. And just let me get this. He's getting money to his campaign, and I'm giving money out, unless I missed what you described.
And what you described was giving money out, whether it's campaign donations. We've seen the same thing with the mayor's purchasing of the Republican line and the independence line. Is he gave each one of them, at least what he's reported, $250,000 each to buy the Republican line, to buy the independence party line, and it looked like there was more on the way. So those things like that, it is politics. It's not progress, Mike. It is politics, and politics that is worse.
Let's continue on this money line.
In the past 8 years, Mr. Bloomberg, your wealth has quadrupled. I think it's $16 billion now. You've also been called out of touch with the average New Yorker. Do you understand why people feel that way, perhaps?
Well, I don't know what's happened to my wealth because it's a private company and it's not for sale. But let me tell you what I have been doing for the last 8 years. I have been working on the things that will make people be able to afford to stay in the city. That's all of the construction of the affordable housing. That's all the work that we've done with the MTA. I tried to get funding for the MTA. We didn't get that done, but we're working in Albany to try to have them come up with money, because if we don't have funding for the MTA, people aren't going to have mass transit. They aren't going to have safe, reliable transportation that they need. We have to have small businesses in this city. I started a small business. I know what it's like to be an entrepreneur. I know what it's like to create jobs. To come here, it is not easy. You worry every night you go home, and you worry whether you can make ends meet the next day. Those are the people that are the future of our city. That's where the jobs are going to come from. That's why we need more immigrants from around the world, people who will come here, who have the drive and are willing to put their sweat on the line and create jobs. That's what this is all about. It's helping the people that are going to be the future of our city. They are middle-class people, and they need to have lower taxes and better schools and lower crime rate and a better environment.
Thank you, Mr. Bloomberg. Just very briefly, when you hear that criticism, how do you feel as a person when you hear that criticism?
It's me?
Yeah.
What's criticism?
Dave's question was that you're out of touch with the average New Yorker.
I don't think so. I don't get that sense when I ride the subway every day. I don't get that sense when I walk on the streets and talk to everybody. I don't get that sense when I answer emails from people. That's not what the public sees. What the public sees is somebody that cares and does understand their problems and is trying to do something about it. It's very easy to say, I feel your pain. That's not what we need. We need people who are going to go and actually do things to make this city better. And as the New York Times said, the city is astoundingly better.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, your response to that.
I think everybody realizes that the mayor is out of touch with the people that he represents. It's the same person who said that no one in New York City made minimum wage when 20% of New Yorkers make minimum wage. It's the same person who said the pharmaceutical executives don't make a lot of money when it was pointed out they make $10, $20, and $30 million a year. No, Mike doesn't understand the people of New York City, the people that he represents. That's why he hasn't seen and doesn't understand people being squeezed out of their neighborhoods each and every day by his policies. That's why he doesn't understand that under his watch, 1 million New Yorkers have been put, 1 million middle-class New Yorkers have been pushed out of the city. Yes, he is out of touch.
I'm going to call an audible gentleman and switch. We have so many more questions to get into. We're going to switch our answers, if we could, to 45 seconds. We have just tons of questions to get to. Stan?
We just talked about riding the subways, and New Yorkers are often encouraged to give up their car and go to mass transit. Yet, anyone riding the subways can tell you that they're dirty and they're crowded. And the one project that could save them, the Second Avenue subway, is going to be in shape maybe by 2017 if we're lucky. Mr. Thompson, how will you improve the subway and bus service if you're elected?
Well, I think the first thing is having my representatives who sit on the MTA board, and the mayor has four. His representatives have voted for every fare increase and every service reduction. Is putting activist riders, those who know the subway system, on the board. Not just people who work for you. Put them on the board. Let them stand up and start to fight for strap hangers. Let them talk about the inequities. Because right, I've spoken out about the inequities of funding, how we're shortchanged by Albany each and every day, how dollars that should come to New York City Transit are diverted to other places. We need to make sure that we fight and get that done. We need to have representatives on the board who stand up and fight for the MTA and fight for strap hangers and the people of New York City, and who don't at every opportunity raise their hand and say yes when they're asked to cut, when asked to raise a fare or cut services.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Bloomberg.
Well, my four representatives ride the subway, as do I. I don't know whether the controller does, but I ride it four or five times a week at the very minimum. We know what the subway's like. And incidentally, the Lex is crowded, but it's not dirty, in all fairness to the transit workers. They do a good job on the subways. What we have to do is find a ways to get capital funds so that we can stop this craziness of always going back every 2 years and having to raise the fares. And we will have to do it. My opponent is out there supporting the TWU, who deserve to get paid more if the MTA can afford it. But the MTA doesn't have the money at the moment, and he's leading the charge. That will take all of this extra money that we just went through with a mobility tax, which is going to drive jobs out of the city. The state's taxing all businesses now, driving jobs out of the city. Money was supposed to go for capital projects, and now it's being used up with a wage increase that the MTA can't afford. We had a plan to fix it. Albany said no. They've got a better idea. Let's see what it is.
Thank you, Mr. Bloomberg. Now we take more of your emails. Jeff Begay's in the newsroom. Jeffrey?
Yeah, 300 emails in the last 45 minutes, Bill. It's a big number. One of them comes from Estelle Staub. She's a resident of Flushing. She's got law enforcement on her mind. She asks, the police commissioner is doing an excellent job. Why would you not want to keep him? That is a question for Mr. Thompson. Mr. Thompson, you're on the record saying that you would fire Ray Kelly. Then who would you get to replace him?
Well, what I said was that I'd replace all commissioners in the city of New York. And if you look at crime, crime had started down. Crime had declined dramatically before Mike Bloomberg became mayor. On my watch, crime will continue to go down well long after he's gone. You know, we need to make sure that New York City stays the safest big city in America. And it's giving credit not to any one individual, but to the working men and women of the New York City Police Department who have done a great job, who have worked with the people of the communities to help bring crime down, who have fought, you know, to make sure that the city stays safe. So I'm going to continue to fight to make sure that New York City stays safe. It isn't about one person. I think we've seen that there is no indispensable person. Mike Bloomberg, if I remember, didn't want to hire Ray Kelly initially. I thought, wasn't your choice the former police commissioner? And that's what I remember reading in the newspaper, Bernie Kerik, who's now sitting in jail. That was your first choice for police commissioner, Mike.
Mr. Bloomberg.
So let's go back and tell the truth.
You would have made a great police commissioner. Can you imagine him going to jail as police commissioner? Look, the truth of the matter is Ray Kelly has done a spectacular job, and there is no reason whatsoever to change Ray Kelly. And yes, it is the 55,000 people that work in the police department, the 35,000 uniform officers that really do the work. We're using technology to stop terrorism and to catch the bad guys. We're using better training to make sure our cops go home safe every night. We have technology to, like the real-time crime center and Operation Impact. We're doing the kinds of things that we have to keep doing to bring crime down. We've diversified our police force, so today a majority of the police officers are minorities. Now all of a sudden the public understands the cop is their friend, the cop understands them, and the cop in fact does understand them. That's the kind of thing that we've been doing, and that's the kind of thing we've got to continue to do.
Let's follow up on this question, Marielle.
Yeah, it has to do with crime, but before, real quick, if I may, you touched on a subject, immigration. You said how great it is that immigrants are here to revitalize the city. Now, we know that they're waiting for an immigration reform at the federal level, but as a mayor of such a diverse city, what can you tell them? Can you help this happen? And I'm sure tonight they want to hear your answer.
I've been down to Washington to testify. I will go any chance I have to Washington or around this country to advocate for immigrant reform. We need more immigrants, not less. That's the ways we're going to grow ourselves out of the national recession. And the great strength of New York is that we have a very large immigrant community that understand where we live together and we work together and we respect each other. And we've got to do more of that. In the meantime, the city can do some things, and we've done them. We have an order out saying, unless you get arrested, we will not ask your immigration status. You can feel free to go to school, and we're going to have an extra ID for parents in the school who don't have one or are worried about not having one and going to the school. We make sure our hospitals will take you and not ask for your immigrant status. We're translating as many things as we can. All of the agencies have a requirement to serve the public in a variety of different languages, and we're going to continue to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson.
Immigration has benefited New York City. It has made New York City stronger and better and has helped revitalize communities across the city of New York. I'd reached out to Washington as comptroller when Mayor Bloomberg's friend President Bush was there, and reached out to the members of Congress to talk about the need for comprehensive immigration reform that creates a pathway to citizenship and doesn't criminalize immigration. I think that's important, but I also think it's important that the mayor of the city of New York lead the urban agenda, lead other cities in things like housing and dollars for public housing, again, mass transit, operating subsidies for systems across the country, and definitely immigration. There are too many people in our city right now, immigrants who are here who are living in the shadows. We need to stand up and make sure that they don't have to hide.
We're running out of time rapidly. I'm going to go to some quick questions for each of you. You can limit your answers to 15 seconds or so. It'd be great. The New York Times, Mr. Mayor, reported that parking tickets generated nearly $600 million for the city last year. A lot of people say the police department too aggressive in ticketing. Do you see traffic tickets as a way for the city to make money?
No, the revenue helps, but that's not the reason for it. They're there for enforcement, and what we have to do is to continue to train our traffic agents. We've just announced a new program to use technology so you can contest a ticket. And if you have to pay it more efficiently. It's finding a ways to have that balance between making sure that the streets aren't jammed so our fire trucks can't get down and still having people be able to afford to live in the city.
That was 20 seconds. We'll keep it to 20 seconds.
Okay. I think everybody in New York City knows that they're being targeted with an excessive number of tickets by Mike Bloomberg's administration. Last year, 10 million parking tickets were written in the city of New York. 10 million. And it's costing people a day's pay these days to pay these tickets. It is not about enforcement any longer. It is about revenue. And this administration, it's another way that they continue to squeeze people out of the city of New York.
You've each worked closely with each other over the last 8 years. You're in the city, elected at the same time. Could you give each other a grade on your performances? Mr. Thompson, I'll start with you. How would you grade Mr. Bloomberg? <isn't it? laughs>
I think I'll be kind and give the mayor a D-.
Oh. Mr. Bloomberg, you want to respond to that or you want to give Mr. Thompson a grade first?
I think Bill has actually been a reasonably good controller. We've worked well together on most issues. I don't agree with him on everything. But I said at a Tufts graduation, I think he's on the board of Tufts, and I was giving a speech. I said he was the best controller he's ever had. He certainly was the best controller that I've ever had to work with. And it has been a pleasure working with him. I don't think that he's the right guy to run this city. I think that I am. And that's what this is really all about. It's not whether he's a good controller. It is whether or not he would make a good mayor and a better mayor than with the team that I've put together.
Okay.
And I don't think
he would. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Gentlemen, thank you very much for answering the questions. It was a lively debate. That does it for the questions. Now, each candidate is going to have 1 minute for a closing statement, and we're going to begin, random choice, with Mr. Bloomberg.
There are four things, really, we have to focus on. Public schools, public safety, public health, and jobs. We've made a lot of progress in all of them, but we're nowhere near where we want to be. We're the role model in this country for how to improve a public school system. We're the role model for how to bring down crime. We're the role model for how to extend your life. Life expectancy keeps going up. And in terms of jobs, yes, we're having a problem along with the nation, but we are much better off than the rest of the country. Thank goodness we saved back when we did for the tough times. And we will get through this without raising taxes, but everybody's going to have to pitch in. There is no free lunch.
Okay, Mr. Bloomberg, thank you. Mr. Thompson.
Let me say what a pleasure it is to be here this evening, to have the opportunity to have this debate. I'm happy to be here. This is a city that I care deeply about, a city that I love and I grew up in. It's a city that provided opportunity for my immigrant grandparents who came here from the Caribbean, for my mother and father, my mother a public school teacher, my father an appellate court judge, and gave me an opportunity in its public schools and has done so much for me. But that opportunity appears to be closing and changing these days and eroding. Under the Bloomberg administration, working families, families all across the city of New York, are being squeezed out by increasing taxes, increasing fees, increasing rents. It's pushing people out of the city of New York, and it's changing the direction of this city. We need a new leader in the city of New York. We need to go in a different direction. As mayor, I would fight for affordable housing in the city. I would fight to increase and create good-paying long-term jobs, an education system that works for all of our children, and focus again on middle class. I ask that New Yorkers join me on November 3rd okay. as we come out and have the referendum on
term limits
that Mike Bloomberg denied us.
Mr. Thompson,
eight is enough.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thompson. Mr. Bloomberg, thank you, gentlemen,
thank you.
A really lively debate, and we appreciate it very much. And that wraps up our debate for tonight. For election and voting information, we invite you to call the League of Women Voters, the number on your screen, 275-3541, or go to their website. You can also learn more about the candidates from the Campaign Finance Board's website. That's nyccfb.info. Don't forget, the election is a week from tonight, Tuesday, November 3rd. It is your obligation and your right to vote. We urge you to exercise it. Thank you to my colleagues for asking some insightful questions and keeping the debate moving, and including Jeff Begay's upstairs in our newsroom. To our candidates, gentlemen, thank you. Good luck. Good luck to all of you. That's it for all of us here at Channel 7 Eyewitness News. I'm Bill Ritter. Enjoy your evening.
This has been a Channel 7 Eyewitness News special event. Vote 09, the official New York City general election mayoral debate, administered by the New York City Campaign Finance Board and sponsored by WABC-TV, Univision, 1010 Wins, and the League of Women Voters of New York City.